Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Today we're going to learn how green tea extract can help reduce the risk of the norovirus. This is a study about how we can help kill the virus and bacteria. Ohio State University did the study. Once again, a lot of what we're not doing is building up our natural immune system. And by the way, I'm going to be challenging many of the things that we've taken for granted from the government's position and the industry's position and the media's position concerning the coronavirus. They've been wrong about everything up to this point, so I'll add a little more of that on today's show. Also, I'll be doing another commentary, as I did yesterday, concerning what is not going to be done, what has not been done, to address some of the major issues that impact all of us. It doesn't matter what your political background, your economic status, these things are important. So it doesn't really matter who gets into power. They're going to maintain power for those who have always had power. So what are we ignoring? I'll deal with that. I was asked my position about federal troops going into cities to quell riots, or protests for that matter. I'm opposed to that, but I'll explain why, and I'll also be sharing some of the insights of constitutional lawyer and scholar John Whitehead on this, and I'll share my perspective as well in a separate commentary. And we're going to begin also today by sharing some what can we do if we've been silent on all the issues in our life, except what impacts us personally. And then not always in a good way. Why aren't the majority of Americans dealing with any important issue at all? I think it's important that we begin to deal with issues. So this was a extemporaneous introduction to the film, The War on Health. It was at the Ethical Culture Center. It was about 8 years ago. And it was a packed house. In fact, it was more than packed. We must have had an extra 500 people, and they were up in the balcony and standing in the back. And I thank the ethical culture director because normally he said he wouldn't allow that, but it was people come from far and wide, so he let them stay. Plus, every seat was taken, well north of 1,000 people. In any case, after looking at the people, and I asked some just introductory questions, I decided to do, just off the top of my head, a talk about what it means when you become active on an issue and how you can get active, become informed, take a stand, risk something. I'm going to play that today. So we have a lot to share. I'm going to talk about the latest on the environment. I'm going to bring you up to date on homeopathic remedies that should be in everyone's home medicine cabinet. I'm going to talk about an FDA director named Gottlieb, and boy, did he win out. And this is just, I feel it's just abhorrent, where someone heads a federal agency, like the FDA or USDA, whatever it is, and then goes directly into the industry that they were supposed to be overseeing and gets a huge payout, and then comes back and makes a deal that benefits them. That's what he did. I'm going to go into the details of that. So as you see, we have a lot to share. We always begin with the latest on health and healing. So infusing your food with some green tea extract, and that's easy to do. You can put it in a smoothie. You can just drink it down as a tea, for that matter. There's a very highly contagious noro, N-O-R-O virus, and it helps kills it. And the norovirus, that's the one that causes vomiting, diarrhea, and sickens an estimated 48 million people in the United States every year, caused about 3,000 deaths. It's transmissible from person to person and through consumption of contaminated water and food. When was the last time that you drank water you could absolutely guarantee was not contaminated? And if you live in New York, that's never. And when was the last time you could be assured that all the food you eat, from grabbing a hot dog at a baseball game to eating in a restaurant, was not contaminated? So lots of things we consume contain what are known as in the industry is edible films. They can enhance appearance, like wax that makes apple shiny and holds contents together so you can get an apple and eat it 6 months after it was harvested and it still seems to be crunchy. That's because it's got the wax on it. And also, like plastic drug capsules, and that prevent the contents from seeping together and being placed in a prepared pie crust, right? All these things have film of some type, chemical films. So in many cases, an edible film is in a product, but you're not even aware of it. So a Professor Pascal, professor of food science and technology at Ohio State University, said, quote, "We don't have to put that on the label since the material is edible. That's another way in which we use packaging and the consumer doesn't have to know." Okay, so some edible films are also enriched with antimicrobial agents that can kill or slow the growth of organisms that cause illness, like E. coli and mold. But when you're just eating, as most people do, and you're not washing your hands, you're just picking something up and put it in your mouth, are you aware that upwards, like grapes or cherries, that upwards of 22 hands, none of them washed, handled that food before you ate it? So at the very least, shouldn't you wash it? The answer is yes. And shouldn't you wash your own hands? Yes. But it took the coronavirus to get most people just to wash their hands regularly. But I can assure you they're not washing their food. So just understand that what you want to do is you want to be able to kill viruses that are pathogenic. And by the way, the norovirus is not an easy virus to work with. It is a non-envelope virus, which is a type more resistant to sanitizers and antimicrobial agents. However, because it has public health concerns and is implicated in a lot of foodborne outbreaks, that's why they used the green tea. And this was published in the International Journal of Food Science, and it worked. So why not simply take a couple drops of green tea after a meal? That would help, right? And of course, always wash everything. I wash everything. When I get it back from the store, this farmer's market, I wash it. Even when I go out into the orchard, as I did today, and picked cherries and guava and mangoes, which, by the way, are delicious right now this time of year, and papaya, I wash them. Why? Well, it rained yesterday. They're clean. Do you have any idea how many birds and insects and bacteria, molds and danders are in the air? Now, is it going to kill me? No. But I feed these to the animals, and I want their immune system strong. So they get a phenomenal diet, over 24 different fruits and vegetables each day, plus a special shake in the morning with all the nutrients I would give someone who was ill to build up their immune system. That's why they live so long and are so healthy. In fact, I finally, after years, I found a home for four ringtail lemurs, and the last of the ringtail lemurs that I've had, they have a home for life, and based upon my criteria, only organic food, following the same recipes, I'm giving them bags of food and even contributing to their sanctuary, because they have 100 other ringtail lemurs, and they had to build a special sanctuary to make it much larger and with trees where they can run around, stay as a family. So I have very strong criteria before I find a home for life of any of the animals. And that's why when I check up on them, everything is doing well. The woman says, "My goodness, I've never seen such healthy ringtail lemurs. Look at their fur and their eyes and their gums and teeth." I said, "Yes, that's because the water they get is healthy and purified, and the drinking of juices, yeah, they get fresh juices, eating all the fruits and vegetables." I'll tell you this, if every American ate the food each day and drank the juices that I give my animals, we could eradicate most disease. But we're not even able to wash our hands, let alone get stuff home and wash it, dry it. And that's what we should do. It's that simple. But people were very cavalier. Remember, you could take Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was a bodybuilder and give him a cherry, that on that cherry was an E. coli, something so small he couldn't see it, and suddenly this 240-pound, 50-pound guy, all muscles, you know, is laying in a fetal position, sucking his thumb and crying out for his mother in Austria, or wherever he came from. That's what bacteria can do when it's pathogenic. So just wash everything, all right? Even the salads, say, triple washed, wash it anyhow. Just be on the safe side. And then take your green tea. From the University of Delaware comes a study published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Food and Nutrition about the brain-boosting potential of tart cherry juice, Montmorency cherries. Now, the juice is good, and the concentrate is better. Eating the dried cherries are terrific, and because you can throw them in a lot of different dishes. You can make a seam bread and have tart cherry, dried tart cherries in it, and currants. Very easy to make a seam bread, by the way. And then it lasts about 3 weeks. Oh, by the way, for those of you who are, and a lot of you are, starting to look at hydroponics, that's the future. So you could grow food. Now, you're going to have a hydroponic outfit based upon if you're a single person, a younger, older family, and how varied you want your diet to be. There are at least 200 vegetables you can grow in a hydroponic outfit. You can grow fruits. You can grow avocados, lemons, oranges, kumquats, tangerines, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries. All that can grow in a hydroponic house. And some hydroponics you can put right into your apartment, wherever you live. You can put it at the, you know, I don't recommend dishwashers, but you could put one right in there. They can be that small and that compact. So every day you have something fresh, organic, healthy. But the key is, when you go to the farmer's market, a lot of people stop buying organic produce at the farmer's market because you get it home and an hour later it's wilted. So you got to use it that day. And the reason is they don't take the field heat out. So what you do is you don't have to harvest a whole head of lettuce. Remember, you start off with microgreens. Those are about a half inch. Then those go to a baby green, which would be 2 to 3 inches. Then in about 16 to 19 days, that becomes then a head. Don't take out the whole head. Just take 2 or 3 of the outer leaves. So if you've got 10 heads of lettuces growing, you can take outer leaves, and that one head will last 9 months. 9 months. Yeah. I came up with this idea, and I'm sure I'm not the first person to come up with this idea, but it was 1972. It was an extremely bitter winter upstate and at the Fertiller Farm, and there was a problem getting any fresh produce. And so I built a little in-ground hothouse. It was 3 feet deep, 3 feet wide, and I put liner in it, insulation, all good topsoil, with a glass lid, and in the top of the lid I put a 125-watt bulb. And so when it was snowing outside, 3 foot deep snow, you could go out, open up that lid, and it was just as warm as toast, and all that was growing. And I noticed that at one point it was all filled with Boston lettuce and red-tip lettuce and romaine, and I hadn't been there for 2 weeks, so it was overgrowing, it was full. So I just started to clip the outer leaves, and the next week it grew back. And for one full year, I was able just to cut outer leaves so I didn't have to remove the head. So then I started digging holes, and I made a whole line of these and made enough to bring them into the city. And so each day at the Fertile Earth restaurant, I had big bowls of baby greens, microgreens, sprouts of different types. Now, sprouts are not the same. A sprout you have to ultimately eat, depending upon the type of sprout, it'll mold. But that's not true for other greens. Just something to think about. In any case, for those of you who are into eating something whole, keep in mind that if it's a fruit, you're getting far more from it. If it's a juice, and more still, if it's a concentrate, and most of all, if it's a powder. So one way or the other, get your tart cherry juice. It also is good as an inflammatory. It has melatonin. To have it in the early evening, like 2 ounces of tart cherry juice, you're going to get a better night's sleep. And it can improve cognitive function. That's right. That's where its brain-boosting potential comes from. Well, think of all the people over the age of 40 who are having the beginnings or even advanced state of the dementia. So you want your anthocyanins. It'll reduce your blood pressure and cholesterol. Tart cherry juice is really good. So one more way of helping yourself. Now from Zhejiang University in China comes a study about the benefits of vitamin C in endometriosis. And I remember it was back in at the Tri-State Healing Center around 1988. A woman came in one day and she said that she had been to all the Orthodox doctors. She worked in a hospital. And then when that didn't work for endometriosis, she tried alternative doctors, and she mentioned 4 she saw over a 2-year period. That didn't work. And she was just exasperated. I said, how much vitamin C are you taking? She said, well, a lot. I said, how much is a lot? She said, 500 milligrams a day. I said, well, that's not a lot for what you have. And by the way, endometriosis is a common disease in females that seriously affects quality of life. The principal pathological process of endometriosis is pelvic inflammation and local and peripheral fibrosis. So it really is uncomfortable. And mostly it's a surgical approach, and that's not always working. So along comes vitamin C, which is a great scavenger of oxygen-free radicals, and thus accelerates repair of damaged endometrium. And the endometrium is important to keep that healthy. So vitamin C can reduce fibrosis in endometriotic lesions. And after establishing the right model of how much you need, because it's not how much vitamin C you take, it's what form it's in. If you're taking it in a buffered form, you can take 3, 4, 5 times more without any upset stomach. But most people are just taking straight ascorbic acid, and therefore they get a little diarrhea or upset stomach and think, oh, I've reached my tolerance. No, you've hit hydrochloric acid tolerance. Remember, the acid from vitamin C is meeting with hydrochloric acid, and that's why it should be in a buffer form, ideally in a little protein shake. So when I started suggesting how much she should take, and it kind of, she looked at me like, wow, isn't that too much? I said, no. And 3 weeks later, she had no pain. 3 months later, as if she didn't have it at all. And it sustained that way because she kept in touch, sending me emails that or letters that nothing had returned. And that's good. Also, if you have chronic pain, and many people do, cannabis is a safe and effective treatment. This is the University of California at Irvine, published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Network Open. So it's safe, it's effective, and there's more than 22,000 studies on cannabis in the Library of Medicine. But you wouldn't know that by how reactive people are that it's a gateway drug. No, alcohol is your gateway drug, not cannabis. And University of Bristol, which is in the United Kingdom, came up with a study that showed that eating poorly can cause blindness. So we know that eating junk food is bad for health, but now it's being linked to obesity and increasing the risk of various health problems. And the Annals of Internal Medicine just found that a diet full of junk food could eventually cause vision loss. One more good reason to pay attention to your diet and eat right. That's the latest on health and healing. We're 20 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to address some issues. And if you'd like to call in and share your points of view, our talkback number is 888-874-4888. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Nall. Right now, in different areas of the United States, New York, Baltimore, Washington, Philadelphia, Minneapolis, Cleveland, and of course up and down the West Coast, you have not just protesting, which is necessary, legitimate, and I support, but also you have violence. You have a lot of violence. And we should note that there should be a way for those who are protesting peacefully, vigorously but peacefully, which is what I do. I do not support violence. And in any form do I feel it's justified unless it's in self-defense. That's not what we're talking about. Because then the positive good messages that I think most people, reasonable and responsible people, would agree with are overshadowed when you don't stand up and call out the people who are there for an ideological or agent provocateur or just bad people wanting to steal stuff or burn stuff down. So at the end of the day, if it doesn't end, what do we do? Well, there are options. Like in Portland or other places, you can say that, well, the mayor of one of the cities that was occupied, six blocks was occupied, and there was murders, shootings, and rape, and all the businesses were extorted. They're just having a summer of fun. Well, it wasn't fun if you're the people having to live there and work there, but those people who occupied that area were armed. So we're making an exception for arming people or disarming people when they're politically aligned with us. So these contradictions come up. But at the end of the day, it's the responsibility of the state and the local governments to listen to their public and see what should be the appropriate action without overreacting and hence intensifying it. For example, if you want to disarm not the people, but rather disarm the tension, then don't wear body armor. Don't wear helmets. Go in as you normally would, without weapons, to show you're not there for the wrong reason. If you go in there fully armed, you can easily stoke a reaction. And then, of course, the media comes in, and depending upon its ideological position and its bias, will glorify one group and attack the other group. And it depends upon who's in office, whether that happens or not. So we're not getting a clear and a honest view of what's happening. It's what's excluded. For example, the couple that was they were arraigned and by the local attorney, and yet they had not broken any law, but it was all the media together, including the BBC, said peaceful protesters, you know, are confronted by armed, you know, white people. One point of fact, that wasn't true. When you see the actual footage, not Fox footage, but the actual footage from independent people, they tore down the gates to get through, and they stormed 400 to 500 people, stormed a person's property. Now there's a photograph of one of those demonstrators with a full rifle pointed right at the couple. Why didn't the media show that? That would have changed our perception. Did they have a right to defend themselves when someone was pointing a gun at them and on their property and they wouldn't leave? So all this has become weaponized and politicized, unfortunately. But here's where I hold a different point of view. I see the federal government and its agencies, more often than not, working on behest of the hidden interest, the individuals, the corporations, the military-industrial complex, for example, Big Pharma in other instances, behind the scenes, and with all their lobbyists and with all the people from the federal government that they've hired to go from the federal government back into industry, they have a revolving door. So anything they want, they can make sure that it becomes a part of policy. So in this case, the police agencies are defying local governments in order to tap in the power of federal militarized troops in order to put down domestic unrest. Now imagine how quickly that could escalate as an act of aggression against the states. And many people would say, now you've got a coup by armed militarized agents of the federal government. That's what John Whitehead said. Well, at a minimum, this is an attack on the 10th Amendment, which affirms the sovereignty of the states and the citizenry and the right of the states to stand as a bulwark against overreach and power grabs by the federal government. Remember when no one thought it was a bad idea to have the Patriot Act? They should have. No one thought it was a bad idea to have the National Defense Authorization Act. They should have. No one thought it was a big deal when we find out that there was illegal wiretapping of every single phone call, every single computer stroke, every message that was electronic. And the Obama administration then went back and tried to retroactively clear all these people. And nobody said boo. And so they were all cleared after violating our rights and privacy illegally. They should have, because now everything in your world is monitored nonstop. So if you're still deluded with the belief that this thinly veiled exercise in martial law is anything other than an attempt to challenge what remains the Constitution and reinforce the iron-fisted rule of the police state, I would suggest you give a moment for pause. This is no longer about partisan politics, which are rank and disturbing, or civil unrest, which is growing. By the way, they just found yesterday in the Minneapolis, a small store, a charred body. Will anyone know their name? No. Will anyone care? The family will, no one else. Will this become an issue? No. So that was just a person who owned a small business, a minority person in the neighborhood, whose life was extinguished by people who did not respect his life to begin with. And that's not a condition. That's how bad the media is biased, because there's a political agenda. Instead, I see what's happening now as a death blow to America's short-lived experiment in self-government. The government's recent actions in Portland, Oregon, when unidentified federal agents, believed to be Border Police, ICE, or DHS agents, wearing military fatigues with patches that just say police and sporting all kinds of weapons, descended uninvited on the city in unmarked vehicles, snatching protesters off the street, detaining them without formally arresting them or offering any explanation of why they were being held. In my opinion, John Whitehead's opinion, that's just a foretaste of what's to come. And I'm very concerned about this, because I've seen in the past everything that was temporary or an emergency becomes permanent. So you don't need this. Now, that does not mean that I condone the vandalism and the burning of buildings and small businesses. I do not, because most of those businesses, depending upon the neighborhood, are minority people, Chinese, Korean, African-American, Latino. They've worked their whole life for their business. So exactly how, by burning down a business, by beating up the people if they're trying to defend their small little business, how does that encourage better race relations? How does that challenge this administration? How does that make it a better world? Hate, unforgiveness, and shaming does not resolve problems with any good outcome. So under the guise of protecting federal properties against civil unrest, the Trump administration has formed a task force of secret agents who look, dress, and act like military stormtroopers on a raid and have been empowered to roam cities and unmask our unmarked vehicles. Well, is that going to actually change the outcome? No, it will not. So I'm very concerned about this. I'm equally concerned about the so-called racial justice activists who are looting, violence, engaging, and vandalism and intimidation tactics. Those are the hallmarks that a group has tried to capture an important and legitimate concern, instead of those who are completely nonviolent, standing up and saying, this is not your protest. We're not here to burn down a neighborhood or a city or government. We're here for constructive dialogue to bring people's awareness that things have to change, and not just piecemeal or through slogans. Because all we've gotten up to this point are euphemisms and slogans, and nothing concrete changes. If you doubt me, look at Chicago. Chicago did not descend into the abyss that it's in now, because each administration for the last 50 years devoted an effort to go in there and de-ghettoize it, to find jobs for people that pay real living wages, and to have a police force coming from the neighborhoods with oversights, committees, and to work with the people in the neighborhood that you come from. That would have worked. at least that would have given a chance for rebuilding. And now all we have is enormous gang violence and innocent people killed. So I just want to share that with you. Those are my thoughts. And again, I don't trust the federal government on anything because I've seen how it lies all the time. But to give you a few more examples, I'll give you some from that are almost immediate. This is today from the Russian government, recommends banning Wi-Fi and cell phones in primary schools. And this is, quote, the Russian Ministry of Health published recommendations to schools to ban the use of Wi-Fi and cell phones in elementary schools. The Medical Department of the Russian Academy of Sciences and the Russian National Committee of Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection prepared the recommendations together with the Russian Ministry of Health. So, in essence, they're saying, we value our children's health, and the science shows that the non-ionizing radiation from cell phones and laptops and Wi-Fi is damaging these children. Well, of course it is. There are 10,000 studies in the peer-reviewed literature showing that. Why don't we have any such thing? We're just the opposite. Also, when it comes to coronavirus, here are some concerns. Quote, concerns arise as some receive positive COVID results but never got tested. Yes. Sarasota, Florida, quote, coronavirus continues to spread quickly across the state, plus now on the Sun Coast, although testing has been made more available, many say there are some problems in really getting a handle on how much the virus is in our community. And then it goes on to say that a person went in to get tested, the quickest turnaround is about 48 hours, and the majority of the time, it can take about a week to find out whether or not you're infected or not. However, the most recent issue is getting back results that aren't even yours. I got a call asking me, and they told me that I had tested positive. I was like, positive for what? Then the lady said, COVID. And I said, that's impossible. I never got tested. Well, the person had gone to a drive-through testing site, but before she was able to get swabbed, she left the line because she realized it was for people with symptoms only. I told them they needed to take this off my record, and they said I had to prove to them that I wasn't positive. She tested negative just 2 days later and also tested negative for the antibodies. Plus, according to many of it only hasn't happened to her. Others are saying the same thing. So this is not unusual. So a lot is wrong with these tests and the way everything is being monitored. And let me just share this with you. I'm going to jump a couple issues because I want to get some other issues in here too. Top scientists just ruled out best case global warming scenario. Remember I told you yesterday, there are issues we're not dealing with, Republican or Democrat. They'll promise they're going to deal with it. They're absolutely certain. They give you the conviction and nothing gets done. This is from Bloomberg, Eric Roston. Quote, a major new study of the relationship between carbon dioxide and global warming lowers the odds on worst-case climate change scenarios while also ruling out the most optimistic estimates have been counting on as they attempt to implement the Paris Accords, which means that there's no silver lining. We're going to get slammed constantly, and we've got maximum 5 years before everything is out of our control. This also concerns me. This is from Brian Shohavy, editor, Health Impact News. Quote, former FDA director Gottlieb, now Pfizer board member, secures a $1.9 billion for COVID vaccine. Quote, it was announced today that President Trump's Operation Warp Speed project, which has been pouring in billions of federal funds, that means our money, it's not federal, it's taxpayer money, for unproven COVID vaccines, most of which are using aborted fetal tissue to culture the virus, has just allocated another $1.9 billion to Pfizer and BioNTech for 100 million doses of their mRNA-based COVID-19 vaccine, which has not even been approved yet. And then it goes on to talk about This time, a former federal government employee, Dr. Scott Gottlieb, the former commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration and now board member of Pfizer, is the recipient of massive government funding to produce a COVID vaccine. Wow. What gross conflict of interest. That has not been challenged anywhere. Also from The Guardian, quote, the first active leak of seabed methane discovered in Antarctica. Researchers say potent climate heating gas almost certainly escaping into the atmosphere. Now, you have one of the largest methane fields in the world around Antarctica. Antarctica's melting at a huge rate. And that means that all that frozen soil is going to be releasing uncountable amounts of methane. That's going to speed up heating, and that's going to speed up the positive feedback loops. So we've already counted in the Arctic, in the boreal forest region, in Siberia, in the ocean off Siberia, which is a shallow ocean. So now add in that Antarctica to that as well. I mentioned there are some homeopathic remedies that should be in every survival kit. Let me mention, I'm not going to go why at this point, but here are some that I definitely believe we should have. Arnica, Montana, A-R-N-I-C-A. It's made from a type of daisy found in mountain regions. And by the way, it's been known since ancient times for its ability to heal wounds and injuries quickly. And it was used commonly by the Native Americans. Anyhow, that's one I would recommend. Another one that is important would be ledum, L-E-D-U-M. It quickly brings relief from tick bites, puncture wounds, insect bites. And silica, S-I-L-I-C-A. It's a very useful remedy for helping expel splinters or shards of broken glass from the body. And it also brings relief from severe pain of infected teeth. You also have Rhus, R-H-U-S, Toxicodium chondroitinum, T-O-X-I-C-O-D-E-N-D-R-O-N. It's very important. Some might hear it called Rust Tox, and it's good for poison ivy with redness and swelling. Food poisoning can be caused by eating spoiled food or even pesticides. Arsenicum is a good homeopathic for that. And then belladonna is also good for sudden onset of high fever with headache, sore throat, tonsillitis, earache. And for women who are subject to bladder infections with burning pain and a constant urge to urinate, cantharis, C-A-N-T-H-A-R-I-S, works like magic. And it's been called the MAGA or magician by people for whom it has been used. So those are just some that can make a difference. Also, I'm looking at the clock and we're going to take a brief break. And when we come back, I'm going to play you a unique clip. Please stay with us. Back in a moment. I don't have time today, but on tomorrow's show, I'm going to quote you a new article by one of the world's leading immunologists who says that our bodies are far more capable of fighting this coronavirus if we keep our immune system strong. Everything we've been advocating, she's stating. And by the way, she's been on panels with Anthony Fauci, and she's criticizing the virologists and epidemiologists who've taken control of this instead of the immunologists who are most likely to help us. In a moment, a special broadcast about how to become socially active on important issues in a peaceful way. But first, good news. This is, for me, it's very good news because of the four vitamin C's I manufacture for people. The number one selling one is the large size of the pineapple powder. Then second would be the chewable cherry vitamin C. Third would be the strawberry powder. But the one that is most important for me and it has the highest potency is the Supremacy Extra. There's 240 vegan capsules. And why? Well, because it's the highest potency vitamin C that I felt a person could take at one time, 2,241 milligrams in three capsules. Of course, you could take one capsule or two or three. and you're getting ascorbyl palmitate, which is a fat-soluble vitamin C, ascorbic acid, calcium ascorbate, potassium ascorbate, magnesium ascorbate, and selenium acetylenate, and also cranberry fruit extract, bilberry fruit extract, bioflavonoid extract, acerola extract, beet fruit extract, amla berry extract, and stevia. So no other vitamin C has all that. And that's why it's my favorite. I use it. And if you haven't, if you want a high potency supremacy, this is it. Now the good news is that after being out of supplies and having to go even to the Netherlands to get my supply of vitamin C, and as a small little insignificant manufacturer, I can only do small runs, like 1,000 bottles, where the average run might be 100,000 bottles for an average maker and up to into the millions. So I have to pay far more. I have to wait until there's room on an assembly line to them to produce it. It's a whole lot you got to go through. But finally, I got more. I got 6,000 bottles. So that's good. Just came in. So I'm not limiting people of how many they want to buy, because we've got enough for a while. So that's one thing you're getting, the Supremacy Extra capsules, the vegan capsules. But I'm adding two more things into it. I'm adding a copy of Reboot Your Brain and a free DVD, How to Add Healthy Years to Your Life. So you're getting all three of these. That's terrific. And by the way, just to give you an idea why Reboot Your Brain is so important, this is a major book. Your Aging Brain is one chapter, Promoting and Protecting Brain Health is another one. Depression, anxiety, how to deal with these naturally, memory loss, mental fatigue, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, headaches, brain trauma, brain allergies, and insomnia, all that are in the 257 pages plus the index. That's in the book you're going to get when you order your vitamin C. So that's very important, Reboot Your Brain. And plus you're getting a very important video on top of that. So you're making a big savings on this package. I think it was around $60. You know, so you're getting a great price on it. It's now available, and I'm not limiting it. This is the first time. So give a call, place your order today, 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065 for the advanced Supremacy Extra about how to improve your life. Now we're going to go directly to a lecture I gave. It was an extemporaneous, spontaneous lecture about getting people to be active on important issues. Here's what I had to say. I'd like to welcome all of you. I hope that this film that you're about to see will inspire you to pick up a telephone, to email, to share this information with other people. When the film is completed, we're going to give you as a gift three separate documentaries as you exit. We're going to give you Death by Medicine, Prescription for Disaster, and this film. They all relate to the medical industrial complex. The reason I decided to do this film is because of what I saw in the 1980s, where there was a move by the Food and Drug Administration to deprive us of our freedom of choice. The FDA felt that they had the power to claim that any food or nutrient that would make any difference in our health could not be discussed. In other words, you couldn't say that you could have broccoli because it had an anti-cancer agent, or you couldn't eat carrots because it provided vitamin A, which helped improve the chances of you not getting night blindness. In fact, they were so radical that they said you cannot make any claim at all for any food to heal or prevent any disease, nor any nutrient to do the same. I debated the commissioner of the FDA. I debated many people. I went around the United States and went to 55 communities. I was on ABC Radio Network at the time, and WABC. I had a very popular program. And it gave me an opportunity to
inspire the audience that I had and had accumulated over many years on ABC to think about something as simple as, do you want to be able to take vitamins if you choose to? Because if the FDA has its way, you will not have that choice. As a result, due to those efforts and those of the National Health Federation and other individuals working within the health field, we were able to get the FDA defeated. They literally lost this one, and we ended up having passed by different individuals, DSHEs, which protected you, and has up to this point. But then in the last 2 years, there has been an accelerated effort on behalf of our federal agencies, including the USDA and the FDA and the White House, both the Bush and the Obama White House, to put into positions of power more than 100 individuals from major corporations, over 40 from just Monsanto alone, where they now oversee our health. For example, one individual who was a top lawyer at Monsanto came over and became a top official at the FDA, allowed genetically engineered foods to get a green light, then went back to Monsanto, then came back to the FDA as head of food safety. This time around, sponsoring legislation and a particular bill, Food Safety Bill 510, which at the outside, you'd say, why? We have dozens of laws to protect us from bad foods and drugs or dangerous nutrients. Why would we need another? And when I looked carefully at it, immediately I saw what it was about. It was a very clever in-run where the FDA and the USDA and those people behind the scenes, now we know those are ALEC individuals. Before, for years, we could never figure out how every state suddenly won the same bill. Every state won the same law. Mandatory vaccinations of Gardasil. How does every single one of the 50 states end up passing the same legislation at the same time? But we couldn't find who was behind it. We were told no one's behind it. We are conscientious state legislators wanting to protect our citizens, and vaccination gives them immunization, and we want to guard the health of our young daughters. We did not have the evidence on our side to push back. Once it was exposed a year ago, or within the last year, I should say, that there was a large group of individuals joined together, paying dues, McDonald's, many of the Coca-Cola, and all these other mega corporations, who worked together to meet once or twice a year with state legislators, give them bills that protected their interest and deprived us of ours, that would open up them to be able to manufacture gas hydrofrack in New York State without any thought of cleaning up their mess. By the way, that's actually the law now in Pennsylvania. If you make a mess, and in Ohio specifically, in Ohio, if a gas hydrofracker destroys the environment, they don't have to clean it up. The citizens do. That's how well done the legislation was, but not for the people of the state. Now that they were exposed, I ask our audience, boycott all ALEC companies. It's working. About 24 of those companies originally belonged to ALEC at least have distanced themselves. And many state legislators, dozens, have now vowed they will not go to any more ALEC meetings. But they're only about 10% at most of all the legislators who've sat down with ALEC and sold their soul. Then they come back pretty much being guaranteed that they will have the support of those companies in their upcoming re-election campaigns. But what do they get in return? When a legislator gives $1, they get over $100 in value back for it. So it's a good investment. So think of them giving $4 billion, through some 55,000 different consultants who do not have to register, specialists, advisors that do not have to register, lobbyists who do. As a result, with the 530 members of Congress, when you then divide that by the number of lobbyists, they are overwhelmed. They're swimming in a sea of cash. Everything they will ever need, the incumbents have. But what we do not have is we do not have a federal government, a White House, or a state government that is there to pass bills that defend our health and our environmental health. When I saw what was happening, did you notice how many bills began to pass that had national security written all over them? But it had nothing to do with protecting us. It had to do with major corporations being protected from you showing your right of dissent. Habeas corpus, gone. The right to sue the individuals who had illegally wiretapped our phones, which were all of the telecommunication companies, gone. They gave them immunity, including Barack Obama. Protecting those who had read our emails. All of your emails are read. All of your phones are tapped. They had the right to do it, and they're using that right. Why? When did we become terrorist suspects? Once you start a bureaucracy, it never ends. The trouble is in our society, we have never looked carefully at what our governmental agencies have become. In my personal opinion, all governmental agencies have become metastasized cancers on the heart of the American public. These are not bureaucracies that are there to defend us, the military-industrial complex, with $1.3 trillion in expenditures. How much do we need to actually stay safe? About $200 billion a year. Then why are we spending such an enormous amount of money? Because those colonels and majors and generals and procurement officers and others who were in the Pentagon and the military-industrial complex then go to work for the very defense contractors, Raytheon, Halliburton, and then walk right back in the governmental agency saying, you need this system. But this system costs $20 billion. It'll take 10 years to develop, and by the time it's developed, it'll be antiquated. So what? It'll bring jobs to your area, some jobs. And it's good for you, but not for the American public. In every agency, National Institutes of Health, the for-profit insurance agencies, the pharmaceutical industry, and the for-profit hospital associations have joined together. And just look at the log of the lobbyists that go to the White House. Look at the individuals who have sponsored legislation to keep you from being able to, if you needed an inexpensive drug, to get it in Medicare, Medicaid, or VA. You can't. They wrote the law. They wrote a 1,200-page-plus law, the Medicare law. No member of Congress read it. They voted on it in the middle of the night, and within a short period of time after that, the people in Congress who were members of Congress who pushed that, lobbied for it, immediately went to work for very high-paying jobs in the pharmaceutical industry. And today, we have this monstrosity of a health care plan. And it is not whether it's right or left, it's just wrong. It will not prevent any disease. There is nothing in the Obama health care plan that will prevent disease nor give you the option of having the best alternative therapy if you have a condition that needs help. To the contrary, you can be fully insured today, go into a hospital with a life-threatening condition, and the hospital can refuse, the insurance company can refuse to pay for that bill, which throws you suddenly into a catastrophic event. For over 10 years, the number one reason for bankruptcy was our health care bills. We just couldn't pay for them. Now, after the great bubble collapse and subprime mortgages, it fell down to second or third place, but it's right back up there again. Now, we have 90 million Americans who are over 47 years of age. There's not one single person in the entire United States government who has created any program to care about your health as you get older. Now, how in the world can you have 90 million people who are at risk of Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, inflammatory conditions, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and no one is doing anything to prevent this at all because they're not paid to prevent your disease. They're rewarded for profiteering off your disease. That is a nation. I decided no longer to walk up and gently knock on the door of bureaucracies and say, will you please pay attention to us? I decided to do a documentary that we'd win and kick the goddamn door down. Our problems have nothing to do with Democrats or Republicans. I am apolitical. This has everything to do with right and wrong, and that is completely political. We have to understand that we have been treated as if we are incompetent and incapable of making reasonable and rational choices in our life. Those of us who chose to eat healthy, to eat a high-fiber, raw food, living food, vegan diet, to flood our body with phytonutrients, healing enzymes, the chlorophyll that is essential for our body and DNA, we were considered, until still to this day, are considered nuts. We're considered crazy. We're considered loons. We're denigrated. For the doctors, the scientists, the professors within their fields who have looked at the evidence and it is so overwhelming, they say, I can no longer deny the truth of what really causes a person to stay well and what reverses disease. These people were delegated to the sidelines. They were taken out of their sacred positions of trust within the orthodoxy. Why? Because in America today, we have only one truth, and that is official truth. If you do not believe in the official truth, then you're considered of no consequence in the dialogue. You will not find those in philosophy, education, in medicine, in finance, in environmental studies, in social work, in anything relevant who are challenging the status quo, invited to share their thoughts. So all you have is an official media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Fox, MSNBC, all the major media are official representatives of the official truth. So even if you could take a cured patient with absolute proof that they have been reversed in their disease by your therapies using natural non-toxic, they must deny it because it is not official. But if you were to cure someone using the most toxic drug in the world, you would immediately be praised for that, and you would be the leader of a new generation of healthcare based upon the model you've created. So we accept abject failure with chronic care in the United States, arthritis, heart disease, cancer, inflammatory diseases, digestive diseases, depression. There is no major success, and yet we give them over $2.7 trillion this year. And yet those in the alternative field, those holistic nurses, chiropractors, nutritionists, dietitians, massage therapists, all the people who are qualified, credentialed, who are seeking the right answers outside of the paradigm, helping their patients, they're given nothing. Zero. Now, it's one thing if you had some people who were denied.
Okay, that's just part of that talk. The purpose of that talk was to motivate others to become more active in looking for the truth about why we are such a sick society and stay sick because it is so profitable. My hope is that you will also become citizen activists. I'm Gary Knoll, and you all have a nice day. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow.